Well, Merry Christmas. If you're like me, you're probably wondering what's not working, right? Actually, everything's working. Everything's working fine. We are in a comfortable room in a December month that's heated, sitting comfortably, nicely dressed, maybe even nicer than normal for a Christmas Eve service. The sound's working too, because you could hear my voice, but there's only one thing that's missing.
The lights.
The lights, with the exception of our friend with the lights on their sweater. I'll provide some more light up here. Light is the only thing that's missing right now. And the reason why I talk about light is because Jesus was called the light of the world. And so when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the fact that light came to earth. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was born, is the metaphor that has come to be told the story of Christmas and how the light came to the world. And when we think about this metaphor, we can't fully understand it because we never lived in a time where there wasn't light. We don't fully understand the darkness. And you might say, well, it is kind of dark right now. I think I understand the darkness a little bit. But the reality is, light is just right outside those doors. And even if you go home and you put darkening blinds in your windows to make sure that room is really dark, you know that there's light just outside that window. Or if you try to flee the city lights going to the country or to the mountains or the wilderness, there's even stars and moon in the sky that will dimly lit the way for us. We don't know a world without light, and we take light for granted because it's everywhere. And similarly, I think we can take Jesus for granted. We don't know what it's like to live in a world that hasn't been impacted by him. Now, I'm not sure why you're here this morning. If you're here to celebrate Christmas and you're excited about Jesus and his birth, or maybe you come because you're procrastinating the inevitable to-do list that you still have in front of you for Christmas and Christmas preparations, or maybe you received an invitation and you're here out of a response because somebody invited you, or maybe you were dragged here by that somebody. Maybe that may be closer to your experience, and you don't really don't want to be here. This is a great place for you to be because we say we're a church for people that don't go to church. And people that don't like church. And so hopefully your experience and view of Jesus changes today. See, if we really understood the light coming into the world, we would all be grateful, whether we follow Jesus or not. Because 2,000 years ago, when this whole Christmas story even started, there was 800 years before that, where there was a Jewish prophet by the name of Isaiah. And he looked forward to the coming of Messiah. A Messiah who would bring hope to the world. And as he looked forward to this Messiah, he wrote these words about him. He said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And he viewed his world that he lived in and the coming of Messiah as people walking around in darkness, waiting for light to finally come. As people who were sought after God, they knew something was incomplete about the world that they lived in. There was a darkness that loomed, and they longed for this future time where a Messiah would come and bring hope. And Isaiah refers to him as a light. That this light would light up the world, and there would be a hope and a peace and a fullness to replace the emptiness that we now experience. See, we all start in darkness. We are lost and we're without God in this world. And it's a dark place. Some of us might feel it. We feel the darkness and we know there's something missing. Others of us might not feel anything's missing. See, the Bible says that this great light has dawned and that his name is Jesus. And what the world longed for and was missing is found in him. So what's the big deal about light? Ah. That's the big deal. That's the big deal about light. Things are now back to normal, right? It seems like things are functioning. Everything's back on track, and everything's going according to plan when the lights are at the normal settings that they're supposed to be. And that's the whole point of Jesus coming. The light of the world. Things are supposed to be getting back to normal. Jesus coming is supposed to be setting things back on track. The way we were wired and created to live with God is now, we're now able to through Jesus. And the entrance of Jesus into this world did just that. You see, we take light for granted until it's gone. We know this because when it's nighttime and the electricity goes off, what do we reach for? We reach for some source of lighting. So now it can be on our cell phone. If we have a phone and a flashlight app, we can have some source of lighting with a flashlight on our cell phone. Before cell phones, it was the flashlight. Before flashlights, it was a candle. But we can't do anything in our home without a source of lighting. We can't do normal tasks unless you're like me and you're an energy conservation freak and you like to walk around the house when it's dark. So I stumble all over the place finding my way at times because I don't like to conserve energy for the sake of the environment, but for the sake of my electric bill. And I will go get a glass of water at night in the dark. I will make my way to bed if I'm up late in the dark. I'm that guy at my house that says, "Did you turn the lights off?" I don't know. Is anybody here that guy or that person that is always policing people and their usage of lighting? Well, I'm that guy. The only thing is, I have 5 children. And so with 5 children comes lots of toys. And when you walk around in a dark house with lots of toys, you're bound to step on a Lego or a little car. You're bound to trip on a ball down the stairs. And in that moment, this is what I want to do to my kids' toys. I think what Santa wants to do as well to some toys this Christmas. But when we walk around in the dark, we stumble. And we get tentative when we walk in the dark too, because we don't want to bump into something or knock something over or trip and fall. And I wonder if that's your experience of life right now, where you're walking through life worried about bumping into something, about tripping and falling, or you're stumbling through life right now and you just feel like you can't find your way. See, that is not the way God wants us to live life. And that is why we celebrate Christmas and why Jesus makes all the difference. You see, we were born into a world not just literally with light, but figuratively with light as well. So as Jesus being a metaphor coming to the world, the day and age that we were born in, Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and we know nothing of this world without Jesus Christ. Let me help you understand this way. I'm going to name 8 names for you, and I'm going to ask you what they have in common. So after 3 or 4, don't tell me what they have in common. It'll get pretty clear. But 8 names, listen and tell me what they have in common. Harvard, Princeton, Brown, Columbia, Cornell, Dartmouth, Yale, and UPenn. What do they have in common? So Ivy League schools, right? So Ivy League schools may have a reputation of selectivity in admissions, academic excellence, or maybe some social elitism. How about what comes to mind when I say YMCA? YMCA? How about the song YMCA or the Village People? You ever see these guys before? Or you've been to? Uh-oh. So the YMCA, you know, it's funny because there was one day I showed up to a building that said the YMCA on the side of it. And I was like, wow, they named the building after that song, the YMCA. You see, I didn't know it was the other way around, that the Y, or formerly known as the YMCA, was an institution or organization to help strengthen communities. How about what comes to mind when you see this guy on the streets? Santa Claus. Anything else come to mind? What does he ring? A bell for us to do what? Donate, to give money, to help give money to feed and clothe the poor, to provide disaster relief in different parts of the world. Now, the reason I bring all of these organizations up is because they have something in common. 7 of the 8 Ivy League colleges were founded and funded by Christ followers with Christian principles. Check out this picture. It's a plaque at Harvard University memorializing John Harvard. And it actually says on this plaque, you can't see it from where you're seated on this screen, but it says when he was baptized, and it also calls him a godly man. Now, I don't think Harvard today cares at all when John Harvard was baptized or the fact that he was a godly man. And yet, many of these schools with great prominence were founded because of the light of the world. The Y, what we call, let's go to the Y and exercise together, or summer camp, was founded as the Young Men's Christian Organization. It's impacted 2 billion people in the course of its history, where its original aim was to put Christian principles into practice by developing healthy body, mind, and spirit. The Salvation Army is an international movement founded by the Christian church, motivated by the love of God, to be able to provide and help human needs without discrimination. And so that's why Santa's ringing that bell, so that it can fund those things. You see, the leading organizations of our time, the world we live in, educational movements, health and wellness centers, hospitals, caring for the poor, are principles that come from the light. We've been impacted because the light of the world, Jesus Christ, has come. We have lived in a world that light has done a lot of great good. But maybe you're here this morning and you don't feel like you live in the light of the world. It feels like a dark place where great good and hope are more like distant dreams for you. And I want this morning to help you to see that hope is a present possibility. A present possibility today, the moment we leave here today, that we can find hope. See, many of us are familiar with the Christmas story. If not, hopefully that version of it helped catch you up to speed a little bit, where this virgin girl, it conceives a baby boy. And when she gives birth to that baby boy, we see lowly shepherds come visit him. And we also see royal wise men come and worship this boy, Jesus Christ. And we're familiar with the story of her giving birth to Jesus and why he's come. But there's nothing unique in that time about his birth. Nobody really paid much attention. But today, 2,000 years later, there's a lot of attention given to the birth of this baby boy. You know, there's something unique about him, something so unique that one of his closest friends is a man named John. And John writes a book in the Bible called John. And if you have a Bible with you, you can open up to that book of the Bible. If you grab the Bible on your way in, it's on page 499. If you don't have one with you, we actually have the verses on the screen for you. And when John wrote about Jesus, he believed Jesus was more than just a really nice guy who did some miracles and was a great teacher. He believed that Jesus was God. And so as he teaches about Jesus and writes about Jesus, he's writing to help us understand that. And so let's check out the beginning of what he says. It's the very first chapter in the very first book, if you're there. And it says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So as John, this is just the first sentence here, writes his account of Jesus Christ, his goal is to help people believe in Jesus. He's writing to some of his friends who are skeptics. They're not really sold that Jesus was a special person. And he's trying to help them understand and rely on Jesus being a credible person and a credible witness. And the people that he's writing to, they're sophisticated, intelligent, smart philosophers and scientists. And so he's appealing to their logic and to the world of order and structure and the sequence of things. And so he starts by saying, before the world existed, there was a God, and there was one God, but with God was the Word. And he uses Jesus and the Word synonymously and interchangeably. Jesus was the Word, and the Word was Jesus. And so Jesus existed eternally with God. And he goes on to say this: he was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the light was the light of all mankind. See, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John is Jesus' closest friend, and he is stating in no uncertain terms that Jesus is God. He is teaching that Jesus has created all things, and in him is life. And because in him is life, the light of the world has come, and it has dawned through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is a light that shines in the darkness. But what happens when you take the light away? You're back off track. This weird, gloomy, impersonal feel of darkness, of life without Jesus Christ. And from God's perspective, the world was dark, and everyone in the world was tainted by this sin and darkness. Maybe this is what describes your life right now. You feel more darkness than light. You feel like the darkness is overcoming you in whatever situation you find yourself in. Things are not right, whether it's personal issues you're working through and it's just not working out still, or relationships that are tough, a marriage that's on its final thread and you're trying to love but you just can't love good enough, or there's more gifts on the wish list this year than there's money in the budget to provide. Or maybe this darkness represents loneliness and this sense that I'm still just alone in this life and nobody cares about me. Or an addiction that I still haven't kicked. It's another holiday, and I have this addiction. Or it's the depression that continues to plague you. You see, this morning on the outside, we can all look nice and celebrating Christmas together. But on the inside, you're seated knowing my life is a mess on the inside. Darkness seems to be winning the day instead of the light. This is the darkness that God saw. And he wanted to do something about it. Unlike me, or maybe you, you want to avoid the drama. You want to turn the blind eye. You don't want to get involved in the sin and the junk of other people's lives. And yet God was different. God sent his own son into the world to be a light in the darkness. And the reality is that light wins the day. So if the light of the world has come, how has Jesus impacted you? See, maybe this year, as you look back on 2017, has been a year where you started to follow Jesus and take a relationship with him seriously. And you found new meaning and new purpose in life. Maybe it's a year where you said, you know what, I'm going to go public and I'm going to be baptized. And I'm going to state publicly to other people that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a year where you started to revitalize your Christian life and your walk with God. Or maybe you think, I really don't care about God. I don't feel like I need Jesus in my life. In fact, I've given this church thing a try. I'm just here being nice and friendly with my friends and my family. I don't really need Jesus. I don't see the difference that he makes. In fact, becoming part of a church just makes things more complicated in my life. It's another group of people that I have to deal with. It's another place to go. It's another check that I might have to write. See, I think you've been impacted by Jesus more than you think. We can be great, generous, loving, kind people, but these values exist because of Jesus in the first place. Because he has come, the light of the world has come, and the good news and the good things that we cherish from this love and this life that came from this light is from Jesus. And I realize you might not agree with me, but if you remove Jesus from the world, it gets dark very fast. Check out this picture. It's a satellite image. Does anybody want to take a guess of where this satellite image is taking a picture of? Los Angeles? Manhattan? Close. It's another part of the world. It's South Korea and North Korea. And what you can see is it looks like North Korea is like a body of water because it's completely dark. South Korea is down there to the bottom right of the screen and it's well lit. But right above it is not water, it's land. It's North Korea, an atheist state that discourages religion. Most people who are atheists or agnostic, and yet South Korea is predominantly Christian, as recent stats show, and they don't discourage religious practice. And yet you see the vivid picture here of light and darkness. Jesus has made a tangible difference in our world. There was a man named David Akeman. He still is alive today, and he's an award-winning journalist, a best-selling author, and a foreign policy consultant. And he's done a lot of research about how China studied the West. And years ago, China was always trying to keep up or catch up with the West and have a more competitive advantage in the world. And so he shares these thoughts. He's a Chinese sociologist as he interacts with this study. And he says this. He studied, we studied everything we could from the historical, social, economic, and cultural perspective. At first, we thought it was because you had more powerful guns than we had, because of our military. But then we thought it was because you had the best political system. So instead of being a communist government, we're a democratic government. But that wasn't it. So next we focused on your economic system, and we ruled that out. But in the past 20 years, we have realized that the heart of your culture is your religion, Christianity. That is why the West has been so powerful. What an interesting thought from an atheist Chinese sociologist. You see, we don't fully know the significance of this light today because we live in a world where the light has come and we live in a culture where this light can be proclaimed. But the question is, have you embraced this light for yourself? And why does it even matter in the first place? Because without this light and without Jesus in our life in a personal way, you know in your heart of hearts that there's a disconnect and there's an emptiness because you were created to be in a relationship with God. And God desires this, and he sent Jesus, the light of the world, for you to be able to have that relationship. He came for you and I personally. You're not an accident. He knows your name. He knows your story. He knows the baggage that you might have. He knows the circumstances that you might be going through right now. And he still cares. Even if you gave up on him, he's not giving up on you. The Bible says in no uncertain terms that nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing in all creation, height or depth, that can separate you from the love of God through Jesus Christ. And so the question isn't, do we show up to church and acknowledge these truths, but do we walk in them? Do we embrace the light of life? See, we can look ahead to 2018. It's right around the corner. We might not want to think about it yet. But as we look forward to 2018, as we look forward to even leaving here today, will we make these next steps in our life, the days ahead, the next year to coming, a year where we embrace the light in our life personally, where we have a personal relationship with God, where we embrace God's agenda for how he wants us to live and to be able to relate to him. You know, if you're just checking this whole thing out and you're just curious about this, or maybe you're not really curious, but something's piquing your interest about Jesus Christ, we have a gift that we want to give you this morning. It's a book about the reliability of who Jesus is, and it's at the Next Steps area right out in the lobby there. We'd love to give that to you on your way out as a Christmas gift, because we believe that Jesus makes a huge difference in our life. A difference enough that he's more than just a baby boy on a greeting card in the season, but he's a savior. He's a baby that was born to be the savior of the world, and he died on a cross in our place and took the penalty of sin that we deserve so that we can be forgiven our sins, and he was risen from the dead so that we can live in newness of life, because death no longer has a sting for us because of the work of Jesus Christ. The question for us is, as we leave this morning from this Christmas celebration, is will we embrace the light? Will we stay in the darkness, or will we pursue the light together? I want to encourage you to pursue the light, because the hope of Christmas isn't that a baby was born, but that Christ could be born in us. That if we embrace the light, that true life can be within us because we have Jesus Christ. And we're not just celebrating the fact that he was born, but the fact that he was born, lived the perfect life, died in our place, and was risen so that we could have this relationship. That's the hope of the world. That's the darkness that God sent the light into. And it might be the darkness that you experience now, and there's an answer for it. It doesn't mean you leave and all your circumstances will be fixed and things will go according to the plans in your mind. But it means you'll have a deeper hope and confidence at the end of the day, knowing that God's for you and not against you, because he sent his son Jesus into the world. And my hope is that as you celebrate Christmas this season, that you would know at the end of the day that God loves you and cares about you, because he sent the light of the world for you. Not just us corporately, but for you individually. And I want to pray for you that you would embrace this hope and this light of life and have a great Christmas because of Jesus. So let's pray.